Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9-month FY26 results conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinion, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you on the Q3 and 9-month FY26 results conference call of Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited. From the management team, we have Mr. Pandurang Gandharte, Chairman, Ms. Tanvi Hoti, Managing Director. Now, I hand the call to Ms. Tanvi Hoti for the opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to earnings call of our company for the third quarter of Q3 FY26. Let me start with a brief introduction of the company. It was established in 2003, headquartered in Navi Mumbai. Dhruv Consultancy Services Limited is one of India's prominent infrastructure consultancy firms, delivering comprehensive solutions across design, engineering, procurement support, construction supervision, and project management. We provide a wide range of core services, including preparation of detailed project reports, feasibility studies, supervision consultancy, operation maintenance, technical and structural audits. Over the past two decades, we have successfully executed more than 250 projects for esteemed clients such as Ministry of Road Transport and Highways, National Highway Authority of India, CIDCO, JNPT, MMRDA, MSRDC, MSIDC, and many more. Our team comprises of over 350 professionals, of whom more than 75% are qualified engineers, forming a strong technical foundation that drives engineering excellence, operational efficiency, and sustainable infrastructure development across highways, bridges, ports, and urban infrastructure projects. Since our listing on the NSE-BSE main board, we have continued to strengthen our technical capabilities, expand our service portfolio, and strategically diversify into new infrastructure segments, both within India and internationally. During Q3 FY26, we achieved a significant milestone with our entry into the aviation sector. In October 2025, we announced our first ever project in the airport sector, marking a strategic expansion beyond our traditional highways and bridges domain. This positions us in a high potential infrastructure vertical. During the quarter, we secured several mandates across multiple states. As told, we were appointed by MADC, Maharashtra Airport Development Company Limited, to provide consultancy services for the construction of link taxiways of approximately 1950 meters at Nihan, Nagpur. We were also appointed as independent engineer by NHAI for operation and maintenance of NS66 and NS73 in Karnataka, including the Kundapur-Suratkal section and Mangalore Airport connectivity. In Maharashtra, we secured a supervision consultancy contract for maintenance across four JNPT packages covering 44 kilometers. In Tamil Nadu, we were appointed as supervision consultant for operation and maintenance of Dindigul-Nartham section. Additionally, we also received LOA from UP State Bridge Corporation, Lucknow, to act as PMC for the construction of Awadh Underpass, Chauraha. Further strengthening our regional footprint, we were empaneled as a consulting agency for supervision of road and bridge projects with the Odisha Bridge and Construction Corporation Limited. Overall, during the quarter, we secured cumulatively new orders. The balanced mix of long-duration projects, long-duration operation and maintenance contracts, DPR assignments, PMC roles and empanelment reflect strong order momentum, improved geographical diversification and enhanced execution visibility. We also received four orders from NHAI to prepare DPR for the Jalgaon Southern Bypass, Dhule Ring Road, Manwad Maregaon, and Kerala 4th package. Moving to our financial performance, during 9 month FY26, we reported a total revenue, a 9 month revenue of 35.36 crores. This dip in the revenue and the profitability, it is primarily on account of a prospective accounting adjustment of approximately 30 crore. This has risen from revisions to project cost and margin estimates undertaken in accordance with Ind AS 8 and Ind AS 115 following a detailed review of select long-term contracts. Please note that this is a non-cash accounting impact and it is only a book adjustment resulting from refinement of previously estimated project, and the overall project margins still remain in profits and with strong execution capability of the company. It does not involve any outflow of funds. It does not impact any operational cash flows. This revision reflects a prudent and conservative alignment of the revenue recognition with current project evaluations, and it should not be interpreted as a weakening of our core business fundamentals. Importantly, as informed, the project level profitability remains positive across majority of the ongoing assignments. Operationally, we continue to remain stable and resilient. Our order book remains strong with an unexecuted order book of 256 crores as on date. This provides a healthy revenue visibility for the coming quarters and reinforcing confidence in our execution momentum and long-term growth strategy. In summary, despite the one-time accounting impact during the quarter, our underlying business remains robust, which is supported by diversified mandates, long-duration contracts, sectoral expansion, and a healthy order pipeline. We remain confident in our ability to deliver sustainable and long-term value to our stakeholders. I would like to express my gratitude to our shareholders, clients, partners, and employees for their continued support and confidence. We remain committed to delivering engineering excellence, sustainable growth, and long-term value creation. Thank you.
Thank you. Shall we begin with question and answer?
Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead. Mr. Kapoor.
Hello. Namaskar.
Yeah.
Namaskar, ma'am. And thank you for the opportunity and for hosting us today.
Yes.
Ma'am, if you could just explain to us again the reversal part of the accounting entry. And as you mentioned that there is no actual cash outflow according to it. But when we read your credit rating rationale, we have been downgraded also there. And they have also mentioned about this impact. So if you could just give us some more color on the nature of the transition. And earlier also during the course of the business, have we ever done this exercise? And what prompted us to go through the exercise now in the in the quarter ending December.
Okay. So as said in the opening remarks also, that this reported loss is primarily due to change in accounting estimates. So we follow an Ind AS 8, Ind AS accounting standard, and as per the Ind AS 8, any change in estimate that is done has to be debited to the P&L. So, for example, if at the beginning of a project, we assume the margin of 30%, and if the margin has come down to 25%, then the hit has to be taken in the P&L. But overall, the project profitability has only changed from 30% to 25% for the entire tenure, and it does not say that it is for one particular year or one particular quarter. It is basically for the entire project tenure. So there have been certain policy changes which have been done by NHAI recently. I will just state them one by one. So certain stages of completion have been changed. For example, land acquisition. If a project has no land acquisition done, still a consultant is there on the site. So it is an extra expenditure for the government. So what they say that once the contractor is there on site, only then you deploy. Till then, we have assumed that we deploy a manpower of 20. As against that, they tell us that you deploy a manpower of 5. But that doesn't mean there is a revenue loss. But we had estimated that we will get a revenue for those 20 people. But now we are deploying only 5 people. Those 20 people will be deployed at a later stage. So if you see the overall project, in fact, the project tenure has increased, thereby increasing the revenues for the future. So hence, these alignments needed to be done. What prompted this now, in accordance with the Ind AS 8, that the policy, that the accounting standard mentions that any changes in accounting estimate and errors, so we have to revise certain assumptions that we make relating to the project cost estimate, the stage of completion and recoverability of contract assets. So this adjustment is just a refinement of the estimate. This does not represent any hit in the cash flow or any business loss as such that is there. More pointers are that if a key professional, say, we appoint a person at a site for 5 years, due to some reason he decides to switch his job, or maybe in some cases where they have been transferred from one project to another project, which is not allowed, in that case they are debarred actually. But in certain contracts where replacement was required, client has mandated provision. This resulted in partial reduction in the billable remuneration, remobilization costs, and adjustment of projected margins. Secondly, there are attendance thresholds also. So if, for example, a 25-day attendance is mandatory and for some reason a personnel is at site for 22 days, then a 3-day reduction is there in that particular remuneration, which is recoverable at a later stage. So whatever change has been done only in the future estimates. There has been no impact overall in the order book as such. Only if you see our total order book, including executed and unexecuted, was around 490 crores. Due to this impact, it has come down to 465 crores, which is less than 10% of the impact. Another thing is, we had deployed network survey vehicles at our site projects. Now, NHAI has come up with a policy that these will not be a part of our contract. Hence, it had to be bespoke and they had to be taken as a separate contract. So again, for those NSV contracts, we are bidding separately. So in fact, these cost escalations and execution dynamics have been revised in account for the logistic mobilization expenses, the technical manpower deployment, and maybe some other related executions. So earlier, these estimates were slightly projected at a higher side. Now we are acting more conservatively. Hence, this revision has come. There have been time overruns due to delay in the contractor's execution, but this delay actually is very positive for a consultant because we get extra revenues. For example, if a contractor, we have a 24-month construction period, but in case any contractor finishes the project before the time, so there is a loss. But in our case, maximum of the project has been completed ahead of schedule. Hence, there have been certain revenues which we had estimated we will realize it. But from an overall Indian infrastructure scenario, projects are getting completed in a timely manner that actually strengthens our technical capability. Now, what are the revenue recognition refinements that we did? We have updated our technical evaluation site progress analysis that led to refinements in percentage of completion assessment. So it was done in line with Ind AS 115 requirements, as the standard required us to do this. Time and when we will have to revise these estimates, now we have further strengthened our internal control systems so that this is just a one-time revision that will come, and henceforth for the future there will be no such revisions. Only the timing of the revenue recognition is the key factor here. That is why this adjustment has come. Modifications in client acceptance procedures and documentation standards impacted the billing cycles and the revenue estimates. So further to summarize, this is a non-cash accounting impact. It arises from a refinement of forward-looking assumptions, and it is not any misreporting that has been done in the past. It does not indicate any structural weakness in the company's execution capability. The order book is strong, the operational cash flow remains stable. Now, as far as CARE Rating is concerned, they have done their independent review. All these answers, all these justifications were provided to them. In fact, they have done this on a 9-month result where even a balance sheet is not prepared and it is a limited review. So we have requested them that you take this up again in the Q4 and try to understand the business more in detail. And they have done this on the basis of the information that was publicly available. There was a management representation, but of course they said that they will maybe consider in the future quarters.
Yeah, I'm audible, ma'am.
Yeah, you're audible.
So, ma'am, whatever adjustment you have spoken, can you give us then the type of revenue booking we do? Is it on an accrual basis, or how are our revenue recognized in the P&L?
So, we recognize revenue in two types. One is a direct GST-based revenue. We raise a bill, a tax invoice, and the client reimburses us. But what the Ind AS accounting standard, since we migrated from the SME to the main board, we have been adopting an Ind AS accounting standard. Now, as we have informed in the previous calls also, we don't have, our direct competitors are not listed. We are the only listed company in our direct competitor working with NHIM or providing these kind of services. Now, what has happened is, earlier, when we migrated, there were 7 or 8 year contracts that were there. We assumed a certain higher level profitability. Now, it has been slightly tweaked, and an overall impact past plus future has been done in this particular year. Now, second part is unbilled revenue, what we realize. Now, unbilled revenue is a cost-based revenue. At the beginning of the project, the costs are usually higher, and as and when the projects go in progress, they are realized. So, even though we are incurring cost one time, we have to bill the client on a monthly basis. That is as per our bill of quantities or as per the contract that we have signed with the client. Now, this unbilled cost plus the margin becomes our unbilled revenue. So, our revenue comprises of two parts. One is the billed revenue and second is the unbilled revenue.
So, for the 9 months, post this reversal, what is the billed part and unbilled have now been categorized, or?
Since this is a limited review, I will not be able to disclose the numbers, but in Q4 there will be a detailed breakup along with the schedule.
Okay. Ma'am, as you are mentioning, as you are mentioning that there is no cash outflow, nahi hai, but then if our revenue has been lowered, we have already spent on the expenses side, the type of employee cost. So, wo bhi reverse hoga ki mane, there is also provision there, or how should one treat that?
So what has happened is, your question is absolutely right. See, costs are being incurred. That is why the unbilled revenue is being reported. But the billing will happen eventually. Like I gave you an example that there is a land acquisition issue on site. Client will tell me we don't need 20 people right now because the contractor is not there on site. But once the contractor comes, I will deploy fully. That means whatever 5 manpower I am deploying right now is an extra revenue to me. But if you see from an estimation point of view,
that that is an expense to you. How can an employee deployment is revenue for you? I didn't get your point.
I am claiming it now from the client. If I am deploying someone, if I am deploying someone, if I am providing a service, that means I bill that to the client. It is a billable item.
Okay.
Yeah,
please continue. So you were telling that five people in the
business. So I am estimating that I will get revenue only for five. Okay. But previously I might have estimated I will get revenue for 20. I will get revenue for 20, but only when the contractor mobilizes on the site. So that is a future. Okay, so what we have done, I can still put an estimate for 20, but I want to be very conservative. I don't know when the project will start. This has been for few cases. Among the 65-70 projects that we are working, in 6 to 7 projects this has been the case. So we have been conservative in our approach, and we had to change the way the we adopt a percentage of completion method. The costs are being incurred continuously, revenues are also being recognized. But we had estimated a certain revenue, we couldn't achieve that particular revenue, hence we had to revise the unbilled revenue that is there. That doesn't mean that revenue will not be realized in future. As I told you, there is a strong order book. These are Government of India signed agreements. Hence, this order book cannot be refused to us.
Yes, ma'am, but okay. I'm not getting the entire wavelength correctly. But the only small point was that when we have prepared our P&L, and then I'll join the queue also, when we prepared our P&L for the previous 9 months, we have given our revenue top on the income side, and then the employee expenses, the contract expenses and other thing on the debit side, and then reported a profit or loss for the ensuing period. Now when you are reverting your last 9 months revenue, you have already debited your account in terms of your contract expenses, the employee and the other overhead cost. So that has all flown out of our cash flow. So that understanding is correct, or that is also, then that should have also been reversed had only the revenue being impacted. That was our understanding.
I understand, but as I said now, the billing is of two parts. So whatever reversal has been done is not for the billed revenue or the recognized revenue. The reversal has been done, which is unbilled revenue, which may come in the future. And this is not a revenue adjustment that has been done. This is a margin adjustment. Okay. So say, like I said, I earlier assumed a margin of 30%. Now, due to large number of projects, due to large order book that is there, hence this 30 crore big figure has come. Had this order book be on a lower side like our competitors, they don't have such a big order book. Okay. Since the number of projects in these 256 unexecuted order book are 65 in number, even if you say 50 lakh reversal in each project, then if you total it, it will come down to 30 crore. But if you see a project to project impact, it is very less. If you see the order book impact that it is there, it is very less. Only from a 9 month P&L perspective, it looks very big. That doesn't mean that the order book that we are seeing will not be realized. This is just the adjustment that we have been done so that a better transparent picture given to the stakeholder.
Okay.
And this is only been done as a part of improving the internal governance, internal control systems in the organization so that we don't report anything wrong that is there. There has been no misreporting in the past. But if in case all this is being done, the unbilled revenue is being calculated based on assumptions. And that has been decided not by us, but by the accounting standard which we are forced to adopt. Earlier, when we were in the SME board or when we were not migrated to the main board, we were not adopting this standard. But this accounting standard forces us to calculate the unbilled revenue. All in the infrastructure sector do a percentage of completion method. So we have also been doing the percentage of completion method. That means the cost that we have incurred in the project plus our margin is equal to the unbilled revenue. Now, this unbilled revenue, when it will be realized? It will be realized in the future. That future estimation has been revised.
So, going ahead, we will be again increasing on a proportionate basis, this revenue will go up.
So like I said, this 256 crore order book that is there in hand today, this is certain and this will be realized in the future quarters.
Okay, ma'am.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, definitely we are then running short of cash in, on the debit side. The loss that we have for the 9 months, how have you funded that?
This is not a accounting loss. Cash. This has not hit the cash flow at all. It is only a book adjustment. Okay. See, we have scaled our operations. We have expanded our project portfolio across India, across geographies. So management undertook a comprehensive review of certain assumptions that were being made in the revenue recognition practices that I just explained you. Now, during this review, we just aligned our estimation framework to be more conservative and milestone driven. And because the Ind AS 8 requirements state that this has to hit the P&L, we had to hit the P&L. But this is not any operational cash flow that has been hit. The cash flow remains positive. We are able to service our debt. We are able to pay our employees on time. We are able to pay our taxes on time. There is absolutely no problem there.
Okay, ma'am. Because the P&L representation is giving us for me as a layman, not the best of understanding. Because when we see your revenue and the P&L, everything has passed to the P&L. You are reporting profit from operations before exceptional item loss of 28 crore. So and in that you have gone through this administrative expenses and the employee benefit expenses line item also.
If there was no cash flow, how the expenses would have been carried out?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Expenses are being carried out. Revenues are, in fact, I can say that this year itself, our cash flow itself is around 75 crore till date, which is there. So that doesn't mean that the company is not doing well. So like I said, there has been no impact on the operational cash flow or the operational capability. This is a book level adjustment that has been done due to the standards that have been given to us. And now we have just made our approach very conservative, which was not there earlier. A slight tweak in the margins have definitely gone down, but to a very small extent if we see project to project. We did not want to be, we did not want to report any over margins that were there. Henceforth, the company will have a very conservative and a milestone driven approach when it comes to recognizing unbilled revenue. And because we have no example in front of us, how these revenues are to be recognized, as there are no other listed companies in our competitors. So this is the first time that we are also ever doing this, and henceforth there will be no such adjustment coming up, and the company remains positive in achieving the revenues that have been mentioned in the order book.
So what should investors should expect to end the year? How should this quarter shape up? And also, ma'am, on the international front,
yeah.
So our chairman and the non-executive gentleman, I am forgetting your father's name. He has already alluded to us about some international breakthrough wherein we will be making very big and into execution. Where are
so
we?
So projects are going on internationally as well. Okay. In Africa, we are working currently in Mozambique and Ghana. We are receiving payment in dollars. We have already started receiving payments in our accounts also. Africa, see, due to this war situation and everything, things have been a bit slow this year in 2025. So we have submitted our bids, everything, but this entire year, since Africa is also driven by US and everything and these treaties that are there, things have been a bit slower. but there have been no cancellation in orders. There have been no impact on our orders due to it. We are servicing international clients also right now in Africa, and projects are going on. The project tenures are for a period of 2 to 3 years, and we have just completed 1 year of working in Africa. So in Ghana and Mozambique, we are working right now.
And what is our Q4?
Mr. Saket Kapoor, can you hear us? Hello.
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Yes. Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So just to conclude, for an operational, our basic revenue recognition, how should we end in this year? And I think so we were always being of the vision of 25% to 30% top line growth. So how are things currently?
See, as far as project profitability, project wise profitability and operations that are there, they remain positive across all the projects. As far as Q4 numbers are concerned, I'm really sorry, but I will not be able to provide any numbers as SEBI regulations restrict me from doing so.
No, ma'am. Only the nature of the type of execution or the pace we generally do. Are we on track to?
Yes, absolutely. So, like I said, there's a robust order book of 256 crore, and which the company is 100% positive and confident of realizing it.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sashi Shinde from Shah Consultancy Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, ma'am.
Yeah.
So my question is, with continued government focus on infrastructure development, how well positioned are we to benefit from the upcoming highway and airport projects?
So at present, we have submitted bids close to 350 crore, for which results are awaited. In addition to that, we have a strong order, unexecuted order book of 256 crore. Our strike rate at present is 20 to 25% when it comes to Indian projects. In addition to this, we are also exploring opportunities overseas. With the Viksit Bharat 2047 vision ahead of us, infrastructure is going to play a major role in achieving a vibrant economy and a 2047 Viksit Bharat dream. And Dhruv Consultancy is well positioned to take maximum benefit of these developments that are happening in India as well as overseas.
Okay, great. And how does our 20 plus years of execution track record differentiate us in competitive bidding?
So our bidding is based on two parts. One is the technical capability and second is the financial score. Now, with the recent changes that have come in the preparation of detailed project report assignments, the NHAI has completely scrapped giving orders based on the financial numbers, and they are giving a rating to the consultants, and the higher the technical rating, they have fixed the cost. The cost will be fixed. It is double what we had been bidding earlier, but the project will be awarded only on the basis of technical capability. And Dhruv being well positioned to take up such orders, in only 2 months we have bagged 5 such orders. So earlier we were getting DPRs for a rate of say 2 to 2.5 to 3 lakh per kilometer. Now we are getting at 5 lakh or 6 lakh per kilometer on a fixed cost model, because we have high technical capability. So all our investors, all our stakeholders can expect that due to the strengthening of technical capability in terms of our employees, our project expertise, the type of projects that we are handling, projects like Ganga Expressway, Delhi-Mumbai Expressway, Delhi-Dehradun Expressway, have really given us an edge in the competition, and as well as in addition to that, there are software, there is 3D, 4D modeling also right now that is being done, which is an international standard right now. In India, it is not adopted that much. Still, company is well positioned to deliver high quality, high precision projects.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you for answering the question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mukesh Piwani from WK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi ma'am, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah ma'am, I have two questions. First is the order book we have around of 250 crores. So what would be the execution timeline?
We are expecting 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And second question is regarding the element of other current assets in our balance sheet. It is around 63 crores. So can you throw some light on it?
So this is actually a part of the unbilled revenue that was there earlier. In addition to that, there has been certain debts that the company is right now having. We have a 10 crore limit from HDFC, which is short term plus long term. CC. Second, we have a 4.5 crore limit from PNB also, which is a CC again. Others are our debtors and our unbilled revenue.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mahesh Seth from BY Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I wanted to know with our entry into the aviation consultancy segment. So, how do you see this vertical contributing to revenue over next 2 to 3 years?
So, at present, we have one Nagpur Airport project. Nagpur Airport is being expanded, and that expansion consultancy contract is awarded to Dhruv Consultancy. So we have hired an airport two airport executives in fact, who are retired from the Maharashtra Airport Development Corporation, who has been a pioneer in developing tier 2 tier 3 airports across western South India, and under their leadership we have presently submitted bids of 4 such airports that are there. And highway, if you compare to airport, highway has a greater reach, has a greater capability of giving higher revenues. In terms of numbers, the airport projects will be lesser, but it is just an entry for diversification into new sectors, as participating in airports makes us a more resilient or more strong and a more because now focus of the union budget has been there on airports. 250 to 300 new airports are being developed in tier 2, tier 3 cities. And that is why we have made plans to diversify in other sectors as well, so that the dependency that is there on one sector is not there. In terms of revenue, if you contribute still to 10 to 20%, because the reach that highways give, any other sector will not be able to give.
Okay, got it. And like currently we have bidded for 4 airport projects, right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. And like can you also elaborate on long-term strategic vision behind, you know, diversifying beyond highways and bridges?
So we have made our vision 2030, which is to diversify into other infrastructure sectors. In the past, what we have seen and what periods like COVID and periods like war have taught us, that don't put all your eggs in one basket. So we have made a strategic call to diversify into other sectors, to diversify our client base. And since last 1 and 2 years, we have been successful in achieving that. And we can expect by 2030 that company is positioned well in 2 to 3 other such sectors, like we are positioned in one of the top five, as one of the top five consultants in highway, we will be similarly positioned in other sectors like railways, metros, airports, and maybe other urban infrastructures also.
Okay, okay. And as we now talked about, segmental diversification, like in highways and roads and then airports. So what steps are we taking to further, diversify geographically and reduce concentration risk here?
Yeah, so presently we have explored a few opportunities along with Africa. We are looking at Southeast Asia and Middle East also. If people follow me on LinkedIn, you can see that I've been traveling to Saudi Arabia, Middle East a lot recently. There has been massive development happening with respect to infrastructure development in these countries also, in all the GCC countries. And India, in fact, is a more geographically tougher nation to deliver. And if we can deliver in India, it is very easy to deliver outside India, since different geography is not a problem. Due to population also being less, the things are quite easy there. And this year, we can expect an entry into the Middle East segment also.
Okay, okay. And I also wanted to know that how does the current 256 crore unexecuted order book position us for revenue growth in FY27 and beyond year?
So we, like I said, this 256 crore revenue that is there, and it is continuously adding. This 256 crore might become 300 in the next quarter, as we are continuously bidding large size assignments, not just in highways, but in other sectors also. Usually the construction timeline is 2.5 to 3 years, and with a DLP period of another 2 to 3 years. So we can expect maximum revenue of this 256 crore being realized in another 2.5 to 3 years, plus a small spillover in another 3 years.
Our next question comes from the line of Krishna Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Actually, in the previous quarter, we saw that the order book expected by 2030 was 1,000 crores. So, are we on track on that, actually, looking at the...
this past 1 year, there have been certain slowdown, especially due to the situations that have been there globally. There is not much impact on Indian infrastructure as such, but this year everywhere has not been very positive. But we are confident of our Vision 2030, where we will at least be positioned in such a way where we are most preferable consultant in every sector. Like we are already in highway, we are there in now airports, metros, railways also. As far as a 1,000 crore order book achievement is there, company on a monthly basis is bidding orders close to 100 crores. If we are confident that we might improve our strike rate, then yes, by 2030, this is achievable. But of course, with the situations currently that have been going on, It might have an impact or may not. It might have a positive impact also. Infrastructure will become a need situations arise. So infrastructure development is going to remain a key in case of developing or underdeveloped nations. That is why not just in India, but overseas also a lot of opportunities are coming up. And if all this converts into what we have planned, definitely a 1,000 crore order book is achievable.
And one more question, that this order book, secondly, we are having a 256 crores. How much is from the Middle East? Because right now we are seeing a lot of issues happening in Middle East, right?
Middle East I have just visited a month ago. Okay, so we are right now in the process of establishing there. There the government system is very different. It is a monarchy-based system, not like India where it is democratic. Things happen through the king on a monarchy level. There are governments, there are departments, but definitely things are pretty different. So I am expecting entry this year. Management is continuously traveling and exploring opportunities. We have formed a few associations with local partners also there. And hence, things have been moving pretty fast. And yes, there is instability there right now. But I feel in a few months or so, it will be better. But as far as infrastructure development is concerned or our sector is concerned, infrastructure development is a need actually. For any country, be it Saudi, be it UAE or Bahrain or Qatar, infrastructure development has to happen. If in fact, in a war-like situation, it has to happen. It has to be more stronger. So there we see very good opportunities for us.
So the major concentration will be on India, or it will be for like 50-50, or how
no, is India is going to see. Like it is there for Middle East, the scale that India will give, no other country will give because of the geographical diversification that is there, because of the client diversification, the population. If I only consider Saudi Arabia, it has a population of 32 million. Here only Mumbai has a population of even more than that. So the development that will happen in India will be massive as compared to foreign. So I will get foreign orders definitely, but the massiveness or the strong bunch that I will get will definitely be orders from India only. And with visions like 2047, Vikasit Bharat and 5 trillion, 10 trillion economy also being made, infrastructure, MSMEs are going to play a key role in all this. So India is going to remain the crux of our business going ahead also.
Yeah, because we are seeing a lot of disturbing things happening in the Middle East and all this. So
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next question comes from the line of Vivek Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, a couple of quick questions I have. This accounting change, I just wanted to know that if we didn't make the accounting change, what would be the revenue this quarter?
If there was no accounting change, we have reported a total unbilled revenue reversal of 30 crores. So, if you reverse that, then that much would have been, because this is a book level adjustment for past and future estimation margins. So, but if we see, we were confident of getting a similar Q1, Q2 numbers in Q3 also. So it would have been in a similar range if that would not have been there.
Okay. And second question I wanted to know on your balance sheet, there is some 85 crores of other assets. So can you let me know as of September?
85 crores. Is it okay, because I don't have access right now, if you can just drop a mail to us, my team will reply you. Is that okay?
That's fine. That's not a problem. But yeah. I'm not a shareholder. So I mean, I don't know whether that will... So will you still reply or you just try to...
We will reply. So my team is there on the call. You can note our email ID, cs@dhruvconsultancy.in. If any breakup is... On March 25 or September 2025, we can provide that to you.
And just as a suggestion, since you have made the accounting change, it would have been nice if you had given the the balance sheet and cash flows this time as well. So
Q4 it will be there, because we get a very short time to review this. There are the dates are pretty close, and we have to get in time. So, but Q4 we will be giving a detailed schedule, and there will be a detailed auditor's note also along with this. There has been no items of qualification also that has been mentioned by the auditors. It is a clear report, and that it says justify that there is no problem that has been going on in the company.
So that's not the issue. So another issue I had was that we have been operating, like we have been listed since 2018, and it's been like 8 years now. But
why is it that operational cash flows are not positive? Like, consistently the operating cash flows are negative. So, is it like the nature of the industry? So,
it is partly a nature of the industry, the nature of our assignments. The competition has been pretty tough when it comes to margins now, especially in case of the PMC assignments that are there. That is why the company took a strategic call to diversify into other sectors where our margins are taken care, our operational cash flows are taken care, because only depending on one client for the past seven, see that client was, is giving me a good order book. So that is also a very big thing. But when it comes to margins, we felt the need of diversifying into other sectors, into other geographies, into other clients within India also, which is improving year on year, but only depending on one client and maybe one type of service in the past has increased the competition also, and that is why these operational cash flows have been negative. But definitely in this year itself we can see a significant improvement.
Just one last question. So, from your last balance sheet and all, your net worth is around 100 crores, like give or take. So can you just tell me, where is this 100 crores residing? Is it in cash? Is it in receivables? Where is it?
It comprises of two parts. One is the share premium, that is the preferential issue and the IPO that we did. That is one part, and second is the reserves and surplus. That is the cumulative profits that have been there in the reserves and surplus account.
I understand that, but is it in cash or is it in some asset? Where is it? Like, so of the 100 crores, like how much cash are you sitting on?
No, I mean that will be as an asset. Now it will not come in the net worth.
That's what I want to understand.
If it's cash is accounted in the asset part, not in the net worth part.
I understand. So I'm just trying to understand this net worth, where is it residing? So because cash is not much. So I just want to know, in your balance sheet, you have other assets. In other assets also, there is another asset which is like 100 crores. So 100, rest, around 30 crores, 40 crores are receivables. And you are saying around 100 crores are other assets. So what assets are there? Where is the money? That's I just wanted to get an answer.
So there are debtors, there is unbilled revenue, and there are loans that are going on. In addition to that, large chunk of it is bank guarantees. Okay, for these assignments, we have to provide bank guarantees to the government, and as and when the project gets completed, these bank guarantees are returned to us.
So my request to you, ma'am, this other asset pattern just need to be elaborated, because it just seems very clear to understand the balance.
Right. We will take note of this. My team will also take note of this, and we'll try to.
It's just a large amount. Because your share price is almost indicating that, you know, the market doesn't believe the 100 crores are there. I mean,
we will do the required change, and in the Q4, we will provide a detailed breakup as well.
Otherwise, the math doesn't make sense, right? Because you have below even your like net worth. So,
we'll provide a detailed breakup of it, and if required, you can drop us an email. We will reply to it as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ashwin, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I just need to understand the revenue that was recognized on the percentage of completion.
I'm not able to hear properly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Is this better?
Can it be more clear? Your voice is breaking.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Is it better now?
Yeah, it is better.
So I want to know this revenue recognition which you've done under the percentage completion method. Was this on a gross basis or on a net basis? And
it is on a gross basis. It is done on a gross basis, and this is just a margin reversal. It is not a total revenue reversal as such. This was a management-led review aligned with strengthening our internal control systems, in fact. So the revision was prompted by, we did this only as a part of a good governance and certain margin assumptions that were made earlier have now been revised because the business is also growing at a larger scale. We are getting good number of orders, and hence we wanted to ensure that there is a conservative and a transparent financial reporting going ahead.
Understood, understood.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, can there be further revisions, you know, when it comes to like the change of scope for all the current projects, or
no,
can there be like a cost re-estimation, something like that? Can we, is there a further risk of that happening?
Yeah. So, there will be no such further adjustments that will be there in the future, okay? This is just a one-time adjustment that has been done. Now, henceforth, why it will not happen, I would like to give the answer of that as well. As I said, that management will henceforth have a very conservative approach. NHI has been making certain policy changes with respect to the consultancy assignments also. Hence, we had to align ourselves with those policies, with how the projects are going to be completed, and definitely we had to do this so that we have a good future and a good transparent pictures to the numbers also. But in future, I can guarantee no such accounting adjustments will be there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Will you be seeing all your orders being settled again still only on the road consultancy service? Could you share, you know, what is the percentage of the new projects? Because we've not seen those orders coming in as we've been, I mean, the orders have been, I mean, we've been expecting them for the last 1 to 2 years, but they've not been coming around. I'm only seeing road orders. So,
any time in the future also, if you see, you'll see large number of highway projects only. Because if you see the number of airports itself, even if developed, in the next 2 to 3 years, it will be 200 in number. But when it comes to roads, it is lakhs of kilometers. Okay. So the number of projects that will come in terms of highways will any time, any day in the future or in the past, it has to be more in India or in any country. In airports, in railways, in metros, the connectivity is not so large when it is compared with highways. Even today, roads is more widely used a transport network than any other. So there will never be a position where highways will have lesser number and these will have lower number. Otherwise, then our revenues will come down. We have to be a part of the highway development.
So on an aggregated basis now, I understand growth is majority. But like you had newer projects that you were pitching for, but those have not yet come in, right?
So, in the past 4 months itself, we have bidded 350 crore of orders, and we are expecting a strike rate of 20-25%. So, those if are there, it will be added in the revenue of 26-27 also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you elaborate on maybe the Saudi opportunity that you may have?
Yes.
And what are the margins different with the Saudi project? Maybe can you elaborate on that?
I will not be able to comment on the margin right now. We already did one project in Saudi, which we announced a few months ago. It was a small revenue project, but there, as far as margins and the efforts are concerned, when it comes to India, it is quite less. But the revenue side, if you see, or the chunk of order book that I get in India is much more than what I will get in Saudi. But definitely, as a part of diversifying, as a part of, say, not just putting everything in one country, or just to mitigate the risks as such, we are diversifying in different sectors. There can be tomorrow change in certain political scenarios also in India, or like what is happening in Middle East right now. So we need to have our base everywhere so that any situation will not hamper the company's financials.
Understood.
But Saudi, we are exploring, if we see online, they also have a Vision 2030 made where massive industrial cities are being developed. So, if road is going to be a very big part of these industrial cities, only from 2019 to 2025, they have grown from 19 cities to 42 cities. So there are huge opportunities there, and it is a much more larger market than UAE. They have plans to make it even more bigger than Dubai actually. So we want to enter, we want to strategically enter into this country in a very right manner, in a very right way. So this year the company is focused on expanding in Middle East also.
Just one last question. You know, over the last few years, you know, we've had quite a few issues. We've had the debarment issue.
Yes.
Now
yes.
We are talking about contract valuations being adjusted. So,
yes.
You know, as investors, you know, corporate governance is something that's coming out as a little bit of a concern. So what is management doing to address this? Because
we would say that if certain management is looking at it in a way of improving the governance, so certain issues that we faced this year, be it the accounting level adjustment or the debarment issues, we had to take certain hard calls for further strengthening the governance so that no such things happen in the future. And that is why whatever has been done. The future looks to be bright. We want to provide our investors with much more transparent and good numbers, and we respect, we know that we are a listed company, investors have trusted us, and that is why whatever has happened in the past 1 year, we have corrected ourselves, we have strengthened our internal control systems, we have hired very strong accounting, finance, through SAP, accounting, be it hiring from the bigger companies, and further management is getting involved in creating second line, third line leaders also, so that there is stronger governance internally, because even if we have to cater to the overseas market, there also there is a requirement of stronger governance. So in this we expect the company to be a multinational company very soon. But that comes with stronger governance, and hence this company had to go through this change, because we are now future ready to whatever projects we are going to take up.
Okay. Thank you very much. Wishing you the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you. Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Kirin Services Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect.
Thank you.